To talk to other Crappens listeners about the shows as they air, come over to facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens.
And to follow us on social media, go to watchwhatcrappens.com to find all our social media links.
And for our bonus episodes and all of our extras, come over and be a premium member over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its sponsors, Christy Doherty and Mia Hansen Aloha, and our very special super subscriber sponsor, Miss Madonna Hines, Madge with a sexy J. We love you, girls. Hello, welcome to the Watch What Crappens podcast, the podcast about all that crap that we'd love to talk about on ye old bravs. I'm Ronnie Karen from Trash Talk TV and the Rose Pricks Bachelor podcast, and here I am with the sleepy-headed Ben Mandelkerve, the B-side blog, and the banter blender, darling!
Oh, darling.
How are you, honey?
You know, I'm just barely hanging on. It's 3:11 a.m., and all I've done in the past 24 hours is either talk about Bravo, bake an orange cake, and clean things around my parents' place and have a Passover Seder too and fly across the country. So I'm, but you know what though? Here I am at 3 a.m. I'm ready to talk about Southern Charm because the podcast must go on.
Yes, the podcast will never be done, okay?
Never ever.
I kind of like when we do these marathon things when we get you really sleepy because that's how we get you kooky.
You know, and the thing is, whenever we do these late night podcasts, it always seems to be at my expense. It's always like I've just landed on a plane. Like either I've just come back from New York or I've just come back from LA. Really.
Well, you travel a lot more than me because I do them from Texas, but somehow it's easier for us to do them earlier or it's not as late. It's only 2 hours later there, so it's not that big of a deal for me to do it. And plus, I sleep all day. You know, when I'm home, my family knows I don't speak in the day. You have to wake up and make orange cakes and shit.
Well, the thing is this. When I've discovered that when I come home, I'm basically put to work immediately. I know that pretty much that happens to everyone, but it's really gotten aggressive. I feel like once I wake up, it's a constant stream of things that have to be taken downstairs constantly. Ben, will you take this to the refrigerator downstairs? Ben, this has to go downstairs. The trash has to go downstairs. This has to go downstairs. The laundry has to go downstairs. This piece of paper has to go downstairs. Will you take that? Will you go downstairs and bring up the stuff that you just brought down? It's like constantly up and downstairs. I'm like, why did I fly across the country for this?
Not me. I hit my teenage years and mentally I just never matured past that. And my parents know that I'm a fucking monster. And I'm like a baby. They're like, someone's grumpy. Does someone need to go to sleep? Because I'll be like, whatever, mom. Like, I'll start fights and stuff if I'm grumpy. And so they know. Like, my nieces, I do the Bethany thing with my nieces. I play with them. I have a great time. And then I feel it coming on. And I go, walls up. And they're like, okay, uncle. And they run away. Because they know I'm a monster. You know? I think being an evil person really is good for one's sleep. You should try it, Ben.
I think that I should just stop coming in for holidays. I should come in for just non-holidays because when I come in for holidays, it's like I've got to do all this stuff. I got to help. I got to set tables and clean dishes. I don't want to do that. I'm a selfish bitch.
I just make my meemaw feel real guilty. I'm like, well, you know, I'm glad you're finding ways to feel useful. The dishes are piled up. She's like, you're right. I'm just terrible and going to hell.
Well, speaking of people going to hell, speaking of things going to hell, let's talk about Southern Charm.
Ba, 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 ba.
So it opens up. We're at Thomas's house. Whitney shows up in a trench coat and a t-shirt, which is strange. And it's like, it's not an image I can really process right now.
It's a trench coat with like furniture pegs on the
shoulders. It was made by like Andre Leon Talley's doorman. I don't know.
It's like if the go round made clothes for like gay detectives.
it was just like some sort of fabulous flasher. You know, Like, if you want to be a flasher, but you want to have some style too.
These
get
two
this
old
trench.
Fucks. I mean, Jesus Christ, you guys, just accept your age. Like, you can't even feel yourself fart at this point. Can we please stop trying to pretend we're 20? Thomas is like, well, I need to sleep after that long weekend. A pool party with two 24-year-olds under my arm. And he's like, yeah, bro. Whitney's like, mother.
Yeah. Yo, well, the thing is that, so Whitney and his model girlfriend, the French girl, they broke up. Shocker. So they broke up, and he's single
she
now.
She wanted
so Thomas,
a raise.
She wanted probably a lot of things to be risen, but so Whitney is single now, and so Thomas is like, well Whitney, it's like, now that you're single, I want to see you going out there every single night and closing deals. I want you closing deals on set in public bathrooms. I'm like, you really remember you went to jail, right? Your judgment is not the best.
And he says this right after he does this monologue about, well, being apart from Catherine is really, oh no, Whitney's like, being apart from Catherine has really mellowed him, and he's such a good father. And Thomas is like, yeah, raising these children, I take them to school occasionally, I see them sometimes in the morning. One of them goes to a class of some kind where she dances around, and the other one eats things. I'm like, oh, you're such, it's like the father of the year. He's like pointing to the house next door. He's like, the fat lady whose name I haven't learned yet takes care of them. It's a struggle. Now, tell me about fucking people in bathrooms.
Yeah. I'm hoping that Kinsey can get an internship in the entertainment industry. Here you have an uncle who's working at Blockbuster Video. Is that true? Can you get an internship going for Kinsey?
Oh, these two, the struggle. It makes me sad, but it's also very funny to see when they show the clip of Thomas just hanging on to those young girls. He's like,
oh, yeah.
I think it's going to be time to have a topless ceremony. I'm like, yeah, you're really playing this off, buddy. And then Whitney's like, you're like the Hugh Hefner of Charleston. Way to keep it current, you two. So yeah. Catherine's in her Jeep in crazy boots.
Yes, she has contoured her face to the nth degree. I mean, she looked like she was applying to be on Face Off, that show on Sci-Fi. She has a distinct line on her jaw where it goes from like anchor lady makeup to like basically Heather Gray underneath it.
Oh,
like, Catherine, you're not fooling anyone.
It's anchor lady, garden, elf, princess fairy.
Good job,
Stop
face
it,
off.
Catherine. You do not have a trapezoidal jaw, okay? That line should not be there. So she's visiting Danny. One of our regular supporting characters. And Catherine is telling us about failing her drug test and how it was one of the lowest points in her life, and it was mortifying and humiliating, but it was also terrible, and she feels like she failed. And she's just basically really erming a lot.
Yeah.
She's like,
lots of erms, yeah. She's like,
well, it was the hardest time in my life. I wasn't embarrassed, but I was humiliated and ashamed.
Those are kind of all the same thing, but okay. I'll stick it because you're sober. So, you know,
yeah.
Points for showing up.
Yeah,
someplace.
Exactly. So
she's
Danny,
like, that was the most disappointed I've ever felt to myself. And I fucked Thomas.
And I once did an Amazon Prime purchase of one of those things that has all the gag reviews on it.
I tried to raise my first baby in a plexiglass box like an X-Man.
And then he grew up and he destroyed the Statue of Liberty. And I was even more ashamed of this than that.
I need a drink.
So Danny's like, how's life? Danny's trying to be all positive, which is the best way to be around Catherine because the juxtaposition is hilarious. Danny's like, how's life? How's everything going? Look, I have a deck on the river. She's like, well, everything's terrible. Man, I went to rehab. I'm so proud of you.
My mom said there's a flight booked, and so I got on it. Oh, how fun! It really wasn't.
So basically, we learn that now Catherine doesn't like Jennifer Snowden, because someone's got to hate Jennifer Snowden every season for no good reason. But Catherine doesn't like Snowden because Thomas spent all of last season talking about what a sneak and deplorable person that Jennifer Snowden was. And then the reunion comes around. He's like, I think that Jennifer Snowden is a woman of a high moral caliber, and she's got the fiber of a true woman of America. And so now Catherine's suspicious that something happened with Jennifer Snowden and Thomas, which is hilarious because something did happen at one point. Like, they were open about that. So I don't
get it. Yeah, but she chose to be mad about it later. Yeah. Yeah, that was a whole weird thing with Catherine, because she's like, that's my best friend. She's the most supportive person ever. And then Thomas was like, you're hanging around that Snowden girl. She's like, I hate her now. What happened? Yeah. Like, she got back together with Thomas for one day and then decided to hate Snowden again. So it's really odd.
And meanwhile, Jennifer Snowden was very supportive of Catherine, even if it may have been for some ulterior motives. And now Snowden has had this baby with, like, complications, and Catherine's like, I don't care. So, whatever. But speaking of which,
there's nothing more complicated than being born to that loser.
Nothing more complicated than being born and not having Amazon Prime, having to wait 5 days for your baby rattle to show up.
You can't expect someone to be a good person when they're constantly snowed in. Get it?
Just kidding. Catherine does not have that sense of humor. But they also were doing a good job at just nailing Landon on everything. Because Landon's trying this thing this year where she's like, oh, it was really hard for me last year, but I'm a good person. And the editors are not having it. Like, remember at the reunion when Landon was laughing about Catherine failing her drug test and losing her children?
Yeah. So then we go over to we follow Cameron as she goes to visit Snowden, because Cameron's like, I have decided that I do not want children, but I'm going to go visit Snowden to see what motherhood would be like if I were a single mom and sad and desperate, which is what she is. But she's so sweet. So
she's like, I'm living my truth, and that truth is an empty womb.
Yeah. And Snowden's like, hi, welcome. Yeah, it's great. I love having a newborn. Guess what? His poop smells like applesauce. Way to convince Cameron otherwise.
That was so funny. And she makes a joke because she has all these baby clothes. It really does look like a baby store. And Cameron's like, oh my God, it looks like a baby store in here. And she goes, well, it's starting to look like my closet, you know, because you have all the different size clothes. Like, there's how I used to be, and then there's fat clothes, and then there's I'm starting to lose weight clothes. And Cameron's like, oh yeah, that reminds me, here, I got you a stuffed whale. I'm like, Jesus Christ. How rude.
I thought you were going to say, Cameron's be like, what is this lose weight clothes? I don't know if I've ever needed to do that. I've just been like this, just kind of like perfect body for
that's
like,
why I'm okay,
you know,
with such a
years.
Small closet. Also, so, they've spelled this baby's name because everybody in Charleston has to have a fucked up way of spelling their name. It's like the white privilege spelling of names where they're like, I dare you to try and spell my child's name in Charleston. So it's Asher, but it's A-S-C-H-E-R. And I figure it's funny that she...
That's not strange, is it?
Yeah, it is. It's usually... I've never seen it spelled
normally
that
way. A-S-H. I've seen it both ways.
A-S-H-E-R. But I just thought it was funny that, of course, Snowden has a baby that's named Asker. That's all she ever does.
Asher Snowden.
Do you want me to ask Catherine something? Do you want me to ask Thomas something? Do you want me to ask Landon something? Baby's name is Asker.
Well, we learned that Catherine hasn't called Snowden, and Cameron's like, well, Snowden, you're always the bigger person. And she just goes, yeah, you know, I just love to love people. I'm like, shut up. I've actually been on your side, because I think you got, like, you were just basically the brunt of Thomas's awfulness last season. But don't say stupid things like that. I just love to love people.
Well, at least you followed it up with, but I'll kick your ass, too, because I'd love to see that. I'm ready to see what's going on, because Snowden really, you know, and due to her name, probably it's the numerology, but Snowden has been very stealth, and she gets caught in things, but nobody really understands what things they are. Like, I don't think any fan of the show can really peg what she's done wrong. You know, it's like, why won't Trump just let her back into the country? Why?
Yeah, I would like to at some point do an infographic on this show because there are so many characters that are all intertwined in strange ways, and they just keep on adding more and more to this universe. I love it.
And it's hard to remember because, like, you're trying to get all intellectual, and then it's like, ba-doom, 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 ba-doom. It's like, no matter what happens, it ends with some, like, the WB frog coming on in a top hat and a cane, you know?
Or at least some cartoons from the banned Disney movie. Song of the South.
Yeah, exactly.
Which my screenwriting professor wrote. Thank you very much. That's a name drop. That's right. I learned screenwriting from the guy who wrote the racist banned Disney movie. That's right. Let's just sink in.
Yeah, let's just let that sit there for a minute.
I was taught by Song of the South. Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, wait, sorry. That's Oklahoma. Song of the South is zippity-doo-da, zippity-day. That was like the one takeaway that got into pop culture. The one thing that snuck out.
Oh my, what a wonderful day.
Look at black people. anyway.
Speaking of black people, Craig and Shep are playing ball.
It's opposites day. So Shep is at the batting cages. He's like, gosh, I got to talk with Craig. Now I spoke with Naomi. I got to talk to Craig. So Craig isn't there, of course, and he's like, he calls up Craig, and Craig's like, yeah, man, I'll be there in 8 minutes. I just got to get these drops from my eyes. And so Shep's like, okay. So then they cut away.
Craig, you know that Craig doesn't like Shep because he's like, hey, Shep, yeah, like, I'm not in the neighborhood.
Yeah. I was a little disappointed, by the way, that neither Catherine nor Cameron told their respective guests that they were in the neighborhood. Or hosts, I should say. So then we cut away from the batting cages and we go to Landon, she's working on Rome, her website, Rome, R-O-A-M. And now she has interns, which is hilarious. And she's like, well, you know, this is a real important project for me. It's like really personal. And I think people will be proud of how far it's come along. Because now we have, you know, the website's actually on a computer now.
Oh, it's so amazing, Rome. You're going to be able to travel like a local. And then her business partner goes, yeah, it's not like Yelp. I mean, this one's going to be like, you want a great burger? Here's a great burger. Like, you know what Yelp is? That's like literally what Yelp is.
I love how her head intern is super eager and active with everything. You know, she's like, yeah, I think it's a great website, Landon. I think you're doing a great job with this. And I love Landon. She's like thinking big. And she's like, you know, like, I can't help but think about like hotels, like and booking in hotels and what sort of cut we'll get. And the intern goes, wait a sec. That's phase two.
It's like, yeah, because she actually said, she goes, I want to see if we can book hotels and then get a cut. And she's like, wait, that's phase two. Wow. So what is this? This is just graphics that you put together?
Yeah.
Is there even a search engine? Tell me the truth. Is this like sponsored by Yelp? Because you know it's going to have one of those little Yelp things at the bottom, like found by Yelp.
I'm just concerned about the business model that phase one is install a WordPress template. Phase two is get a cut out of Marriott. That's a pretty aggressive jump there.
Now, someone posted a really funny picture on the Facebook, and they're like, do you guys notice how Landon's business partner hates her? And it's just a picture of Landon and this girl just giving her a look from hell. And I didn't notice that. The picture is hilarious, so thank you for posting. But I did think watching the scene, I was like, this girl is going to be hateful, the business partner. Yeah. And I can tell things in different ways, but this is one of my fail-safe ways, eyebrows. Mm-hmm. This woman has these big, bushy eyebrows. She ain't going to do shit to those eyebrows. And I don't trust a person like that. Like, she's just
filled with lies.
Yeah, they're filled with, like, fuck you. I'm going to have my eyebrows however I want. The world's going to tell me to do my eyebrows. Well, fuck you. I'm not pretty girl. I'm like, oh, my God. It's like Large Marge over there with her giant bushy eyebrows. This is not going to end well.
Well, we see later in the episode that she's plotting her takeover.
Yes, because she also – I'm so sorry, Ben, but just one more thing. She goes, yeah, because Landon likes to shoot for the moon, and I'm here to make sure that we just get to the stars. I'm like, are you holding her back?
I'm like, technically stars are farther away than the moon, but that's okay, bitch. How about you start a website on roaming the universe, okay? Then you'd understand. Huh? She's like, she's shooting for the moon, but I'm gonna hold her back to Pluto, okay?
Yeah, I was like, I just hear eyebrows, so
I just hear undermining. So then we go back to the cages, and it's like half an hour later, and Craig finally shows up, which is just shady because Shep barely even makes a big deal about it. That's just the editors being shady.
Yeah, and but he does say 8 minutes and then shows up half an hour later, which is funny.
Which is annoying. Right. So it's funny that they're making Craig play baseball when they just had this whole thing last episode that like everyone in Craig's family was a jock except for Craig, and he was like not a good jock. And Craig was like, yeah, I love baseball. I wanted to be in the major leagues when I was a kid. So that way I'd finally fit in with my family.
Yeah, figures that's where Shep has him film. Shep's just always looking out for Craig. When we were doing a recap of the preview that lasted an hour for 20 seconds of preview, I was like, I think Craig is on some serious drugs. Look at his eyes in that scene. Well, it's because he had a big swollen eye. Duh.
Yes, from his cat. So it was either drugs or cat allergies.
It's like, yeah, well, Gizmo was sleeping next to me, so I think that's it.
And Shep just goes, huh.
Yeah, then, and then on a similar vein, so Craig gets into the batting cage and he's like, I just want to see one like get thrown first. So then the machine throws a ball and Craig goes, oh, I just thought it was funny they kept that in his like disappointment with the aggressiveness of the ball.
Should somebody come out here and put this on a pole of some kind for me to?
It's like T-ball. It's like his great years in T-ball.
I wanted to be in the major leagues when I was a kid. That was my dream. I was actually varsity. Gosh, Craig, you only played T-ball.
I was varsity P-League. So I did. So. That was pretty sweet.
I was the oldest guy in Little League.
So Shep tells him, well, gosh, you know, I talked to Naomi at that party, and I hope you didn't take offense. And he goes,
oh, you talk to Naomi? Why shouldn't you? You're like brother and sister. You could talk to her whatever you want. We're cool. We're best friends still, right? We're clearly still on the same text chain.
So Naomi didn't go tell Craig everything, which is, you know, pretty smart of Naomi because she doesn't want to get him wound up, but also kind of surprising.
So Shep pretty much just starts in and he's like, so how long did you know that you didn't graduate from law school? And Craig's like, I always knew. And he's like, I never said that. If you listen to my words, I never said that I ever graduated. And then they cut to a flashback of him in Delaware with his family being like, yeah.
Did you graduate? And he goes, yeah.
Yeah, because Whitney said it as a joke. Whitney was like, well, assuming you did graduate. And he's like, yeah, I graduated.
But technically, I only said yeah, so.
And then Shep was like, yeah, but I was with you when you dropped off the test. Where did that go? Like, Shep is so obsessed with where that envelope went.
I get it, though, because honestly, he's like, what the hell's going on? This is so shady. I just want to get to the bottom of this, you know? And so Craig is like, he's like, yeah, it went to the bar. And he's like, so what about the money? It's just sitting there at the bar office? He's like, yeah. Like, when does it expire? Well, it's only good for the next test. So it's gone. What about the money you paid? He's like, yeah, I lost it. But it's my fault, so it's cool. I'm like, I guess if you're at peace with it, it's fine. But this is weird, Craig. Right?
They show, I mean, look, no, it's I mean, weird. We just don't agree on it because they showed the preview clips again, or not the preview, the reunion clips again, and they already fought about all this. Like, they made Craig admit that he never finished school and that, you know, the thing, and Shep just can't let it go, but he hasn't talked to him since then. And Craig's just like, can we just let this die? Like, do we need to talk about this over and over? And he's like, here we are in this batting cage, something you failed at, to talk about this paper of a thing you never took, and I'm going to make you admit it. And Craig's just like not wanting to admit it. So Shep goes, well, you know what I think? Gosh, I think you don't want to be a lawyer. And Craig goes, yeah, well, I think you're a loser and you're unhappy and you don't have a girlfriend. Because, like, why else would you be coming after me after all this time? Like, my eye hurts.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that Craig is necessarily wrong, but I think that, like, it's not outrageous if you have a friend who is saying that they're doing this whole hullabaloo about, yeah, I've come back, I'm a new guy, I've got my motivation, I'm going to get my job back, I'm going to apply for the bar, everything's going to turn around. And all that time, they're fully just lying to you because they never even finished college. And they're just saying that, like, no wonder you'd be like, what's going on? And, like, do you, like,
no,
and
I even understand it. I being, get like, being upset with it, but they yeah. know what happened. The guy's just humiliated yeah. at this point.
Well, no, but I think at this, no, but at this point, they're all, well, but they, he also made them, like, in their minds, they're like, well, now we look like that was, the fact that you were lying to us is kind of offensive. So this is our, we're going to, like, have a moment with this. But actually, even more than that, I think that what they're feeling right now is like, gosh, like, you clearly don't want to be a lawyer, so just like own it, baby, and like do something else. But stop, please stop with this charade again that you want to be a lawyer.
But I love Shep's argument because Craig's like, "What does it matter to you?" And Shep's like, "Because we disassociated.
Yes, this
like,
is amazing.
We used to have a group text, and now we have a separate group text. You're not even on that group text, Craig.
Don't you realize how bad things have gotten?" Gosh,
like now it's just me and Whitney and Cameron. You're not even there. And he's like, well, you don't even have confidence in your arguments. You have to rope in Cameron and Whitney now to hate me. Like, what can I do to you to prove that I'm not a liar? And he goes, nothing. And he goes, then just drop it. All right. I'm a liar. So then drop it then. And he's like, all right.
But Craig's logic was like all 50 weird.
50 cents paid for those balls.
Gosh, but Craig's logic was sort of weird because it was like you don't have to be obsessed with it because I was open about the fact that I was lying, and so now, like, I don't know, I couldn't follow it. I thought it was just hilarious, and I loved the fact that, like, Shep's way of giving him the rude awakening, the scared straight moment, was you've been dropped from a group text. Like, we have our own group text now. So that's good. How bad it's gotten.
So then it's like, ba-doom, ding-a-ding, 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 and we go to Cameron and her friend, Chelsea.
Now, Chelsea, we have to mention someone tweeted at us, and I'm sorry, I forgot who it was, or wrote a comment. Chelsea was on Survivor One World, and she was the runner-up. And the funny thing was, I didn't even remember. I remember the girl who won One World, and I remember other cast members, but I was like,
who won One World? I'm not sure I watched that one. I don't
Kim,
watch very
that
many
girl,
seasons.
Kim.
Okay, Kim, yeah, I didn't see that one.
But that was only a few years ago, and I know that with some of the Survivor, people fall, you know, out of sight, out of mind. But this, she came in second place. That means she had like a lot of screen time, and she even got a few votes. I couldn't remember her for the life of me. I felt kind of bad.
And they look so different in makeup. Like, when they show up to the finale and they're all wearing makeup and clothes, I'm like, whoa, those people are actually decent looking. I can see why they're cast.
Yeah, I think it's also because Kim was so dominant that season that there was, like, no point in even thinking about anyone else.
Well, I love any scene where Cameron is eating because she's always like, I'll have the nacho-flavored French fries with corn nuts, a Dr. Pepper, and some mayonnaise on the side, please.
She's like, yeah.
You fucking bitch. Every time she does something like that.
I know. So they're going to – Cameron and Chelsea are hanging out there, and we know that they're going to be going to Landon's thing later. Landon's having an event. To show off, it's like a soft opening for her website where she's gonna get criticism or whatever. It didn't really make sense. She
the
just
college is bringing us iPads so we could pass them around instead of paper.
I'm like, how about you make your website mobile friendly and then everyone can look at it on their phones? So we learned that Whitney may or may not be showing up because he just met a model, and you know, I mean, I come on,
Whitney. He met a model in the back of the Thrifty Nickel, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Responding to your ad for, you know, $8 an hour to be on camera for this show. So
I love that everybody, when they saw this girl's like, oh, that's a hoe.
Yeah.
That's a hoe.
Yeah. So Cameron is basically trying to push Chelsea onto Shep because she just thinks they'll be soulmates. And she's like, she's literally the female version of Shep, except she's not a whore.
And this girl Chelsea's like, well, when he's not wasted and slobbering all over himself, I guess there's more that I want to get to know. She's like, well, that's never gonna happen, never mind, all right, we'll start looking for a new guy for you. But Cameron's, you know, she's like, well, you know, they have more in common than she thinks. I mean, they both like hunting, they both like fishing.
She's like, she was on Survivor. He listens to Survivor.
He's surviving.
You know what I'm saying? The search is over.
he's technically still alive, which means he survived. So they've got tons in common. So then we cut to the guys at the brewery. It's Whitney Shep and this new guy, Austin.
Austin, who looks a lot like this guy I went to middle school with, named Cormac. And the reason why I mention that is because Cormac's fiance, perhaps they're married now, she listens to this podcast. So hi there. Hi there. You
Did
got a shout
Cormac,
out.
Like, insist on showing his butt in scenes, but then he had a lot of zits that he couldn't see from his angle?
No.
Well,
but
thank
Austin,
you.
I
then
get
thank
a lot
you,
of
Cormac. I'd like to thank you.
I get a lot of Cormac from Austin. Or, yeah.
Shep's so, like,
just,
hey,
just
Whitney,
so everyone knows.
Yeah, this new guy is Austin. He's a Lothario like us. And Whitney's like, yeah, I've heard, mother.
Let's talk about shit.
And Shep's like, are we rivals? And Austin's like, no.
Like, Austin likes Eliza Limehouse because of the Limehouses. The Limehouse of the Ravenels.
When he's like, welcome to the club. So they're talking about all the hotties at the pool parties. And these guys, the more they hang out together as the seasons pass, the sadder I get.
I know.
Just get sad.
And then Shep is sitting there with his mouth full of food. He's got like a full burger that he's chomping on. And he's like, so gosh, I heard this gossip about Landon. And there are these like app guys. They have this app called Yacht Me. Was it Yacht Me or Yacht Men? Well, I don't know what this app was. It was something about yachts. And basically, they had bad things to say about Landon. Essentially, she went up to Nantucket with these guys and she criticized their logo and then started saying things like, I don't care about money because everywhere I go, everything is paid for.
Yeah.
So I don't really.
And she
said,
I don't hang out with millionaires, only billionaires. And Chef's like, they were horrified, disgusted, and disappointed.
I didn't really understand what was happening. I mean, there was like an app for yachts and they were all up in Nantucket. I mean, this is like the whitest gossip I'd ever heard.
Yeah, it sounds like Shep, you know some old white dudes spending a bunch of money. And he's like, well, I'll introduce him to Landon. And then she just made a ass out of herself, as she always does. And Austin's like, well, that's too bad because she seemed down to earth. And he's like, and now I look like a stylist. Like, hey, did you hear what she said? Oh, gosh.
It was so offensive, mainly because the idea of Shep styling anything is very offensive.
Yeah, it's like one of those people who cut your hair, but they don't, like, comb theirs. You're like, wait a minute.
Mediocre Sam's.
So Craig and Naomi, Naomi comes home to Craig trying to light five melted candles that are melted all over the table.
This is great because Naomi's talking about like her day where she's essentially studying for an MBA and working and all this. And Craig, and she's like, honestly, I don't even know what Craig does. And they cut to footage of Craig giving his cat a ride in a wheelbarrow.
It was a whole montage.
He's like
wheelbarrowing him around the yard. And then they show him inside while he's cooking. The cat's next to him. And he's like, hey, cat, what's up? Do you like this? And then they're in bed together. He's like, yo, what's up, cat? Good day, right? It's like his little best friend.
It was like so funny and adorable.
So she's like, well, how was your meeting with Shep? And he's like, it sucked. It was like a ambush or a attack.
Yeah.
He said I was lying about wanting to take the bar. Like, what? And she goes, well, in his defense, your circumstances are a bit different.
Yes. And this is where his logic was confusing me. I started saying it before. This is where it was. Because he's like, I don't have anything to prove anymore because, you know, I've been honest about lying. So I don't have anything to prove. I'm like, you have to prove that you're not going to be lying all the time. That's what you have to prove, Craig.
And I like that she is kind of smarter this season because she keeps dropping hints to us, you know? She says, you know, my perfect world, he would be focusing on the bar and then become a lawyer. And then I'd finish, you know, school and then I'd become whatever. And then we'd have money and we'd travel and be happy. But, I mean, that's hard work. And I'm not his babysitter. I'm his girlfriend. So I'm just going to watch him try and find a wick on this table candle that he melted down 3 weeks ago and hope the cat doesn't start on fire.
I'm sure giving kitty cat train rides is really rewarding, too. I mean, I would love to go to Italy, but, you know, I guess it'd be nice to sit on the back porch and watch Craig give our cat a little ride in our red wagon.
I mean, cats have feelings, so I'm happy.
So Craig is talking about this text message situation and everything. And I love that Naomi goes, I hope Cameron isn't going behind your back and saying stuff. I'm like, it's Cameron, so she probably is, yes.
You've seen this show, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
She's like, you know, not on iMessage, not Cameron. So then at the party.
Please tell me it's not a Facebook group. Please tell me it's not an Instagram group. Those are the worst.
So Landon's getting ready for her party. She's in a robe and she's like, I can't wait till my friends see. Like, I have a job. I'm not just doing around.
And I wrote down, this is feeling very She by Sheree right now. But yeah, she calls down to her intern. She's like, okay, guys, just, you know, let me know when you're ready. And they're like, we're ready. Okay.
So she calls Thomas and leaves a voicemail. And she's like,
hi, it's Landon. I hope you're coming tonight because I would love to see you.
Awkward. And then it goes to Thomas. I just wrote obligatory naked Thomas shots. Thomas loves those where he's like, well, camera crew, come on in here. I'm taking a shower. You can catch my hot naked Thomas body. Did you get this angle of my butt crack? Got a new dimple on the right cheek, boys.
I particularly enjoyed watching him scratch his nipple. That was nice.
And then get like aftershave on it. Stupid.
Yeah. So then we go to this event and Landon's friends show up and then T-Rav shows up. And then that guy Drew, who's sort of Landon's like boyfriend, but not, she keeps introducing him as her friend. He shows up in a tuxedo and she's like, well, you know, he doesn't have a lot of money. I'm like, well, that's a huge overcompensation then showing up in a tuxedo. But he's actually going to a wedding. Eliza Limehouse is there, Cameron, Chelsea, Craig, and of course Craig shows up with his giant collar, that ridiculous collar from that shirt with the stripes. I'm like, Craig? Oh, Craig.
Yeah, he's wearing two. He's like a collar over a collar. Yeah.
It was weird.
He was like double collaring it.
Austin and Shep show up, and then Whitney shows up with this Daisy, the model. I mean, she had to be coked out or something like that. And he even says, like, this is my escort for the evening.
And Cameron's like, escort? And she goes, yeah.
And then Daisy and Cameron just start nerding out over each other's accents. Because Cameron's like, oh, my gosh, I love your accent. And Daisy's like, oh, I love your accent, too. Yes, I sounded like this. And they're both are like, you speak.
Cameron's like, she's a whorebull in China shop. And then Shep, they meet Shep and Daisy's like, what was her accent? Where's she from?
I think it was Australian. She's like, where you from?
She's like, what's your name? And he goes, Shep. And she goes, huh, Shep, can a whistle let you then like this? Shep.
Like, wow. He's like, Shep, like Shepherd.
Yeah. So she's like, doing her whistle thing. I'm like, oh God, a whore from a sheep farm.
So Whitney's, then Cameron Whitney's confronts
killing
Craig.
It this season.
So then Cameron confronts Craig and is like, Craig! And Craig's like, gosh, like, you know, Shep told me that you guys have a text chain without me. She's like, no, well, you know, listen, I don't care about whether or not you take the bar, but I do have to admit we have a group chat where we make fun of your Instagram.
And he goes, it feels like high school. And she's like, did he have velvet polo outfits in high school to be on Instagram in? I don't think so, because look at this. And she's showing pictures from his Instagram, and he's like, velvet polo pants. Walking down a runway, probably outside Naomi's house, you know. She's like, I'm sorry, but that shit's funny. And she's like, well, come on, let's talk. I don't want to be a bully. And he goes, no. Like, if Shep doesn't want to be my friend, then that's cool. He doesn't have to be my friend. She goes, well, this is awkward. So then Shep starts flirting with Chelsea and it's like lame. And he's like, yeah. She's like, you look nice. And he's like, you look like a creamsicle.
Yeah, we belong together.
Ever famous, popsicle flirt.
Yes, it always works.
You look like a push up pop.
You look like one of those frog things, those Good Humor frogs, you know, with chocolate on the back and M&M's for eyes. Yeah, it's a compliment. So, meanwhile, the intern tells Whitney, Whitney says something like, so did you write, he makes a joke like, so did you write all the content? And she's like, yeah.
Yeah, she's like, I wrote it. I wrote all the copy. And then she gives him this look, and I'm like, uh-oh.
Yeah, and it's just
eyebrows.
And then it just cuts away. Mm-hmm.
Don't ever trust those eyebrows. So Shep hugs it out with Naomi, partner. Okay, so the partner's showing Shep now. She's like, okay, this is Rome, and these are the guys of Rome. And Shep is like the main picture on this app, and he goes, whoa, you have a laptop? She's like, I just got one.
Yeah. And meanwhile, T-Rav is giving his very informed opinion on the website. He's like, well, it's not pixelated. It's very high def.
And
so that's good.
Did you hear him go, Landon has really good oral skills. And then him and Whitney started cracking up. Like, classy. Gross. Okay, class.
Yes.
So Chelsea's getting hit on by some hot gay guy. And yes. Cameron's like, Shep, there are two men chasing Chelsea now. And he goes, what should I do? She goes, lay your claim. I love the anti-feminist bent on this show. Yeah.
I know. But Shep is actually reverse anti-feminist, a.k.a. sort of feminist. Because he's like, she's a grown woman. If she likes me, she'll talk with me. And if she finds someone that's better than me, she'll talk with him. I don't have to go chase her.
Yeah, he's like, I don't own anyone, free love. And then the scene before when he was with the guys, he's like, I mean, come on, I don't care who she hooks up with. This is America. Americans fuck.
Yeah. So then Shep is talking to Landon about Rome or whatever. And he's getting some info about her trip. I think he's starting to get the info about his trip to Nantucket. And then while they're talking, Chelsea walks up. And then it's super awkward because he's like, into Chelsea, but then he had that weird moment with Landon where she said that she loved Shep, and you could just see he was like, gosh, how do I get out of this? Should we talk about Craig? Look at his collar. It's like a runway.
And also, he's about to bring out his Shep bitch side, and he's like, do I do this in front of Chelsea? Gosh. Just real quick, right before this, Landon and Thomas are talking, and he's like, great job. And she goes, thank you. And he goes, persistence is omnipotence.
Maybe he meant omnipresent, or
what did he say? What the fuck is he saying? He did say that, right?
Persistence is omnipotence.
I'm like, Landon is now God. Power. Landon got a working demo together, so she now sees everything like God. Okay, yeah. So Shep is starting in on Landon, but she's not taking any of the hints. And he's like, it's great. And she goes, you see, it exists. You can even do it on your phone one day. It gives me purpose. And he's like, yeah. Well, you know, like, let me give you some humble advice. Like, in the tech industry, you got to have slow growth. Humble, calculated. And she's like, yeah, humble is key.
So then he like sits her down and is like, listen, I heard that you're a real bitch of the yacht guys in Nantucket. She's like, what? And he's like, yeah, you know, they're like investors. They're powerful. They could help your site. And instead you're like making fun of them. She's like, well, I didn't want to be featured on something that looked like a dating app. Which now makes me really want to see what this app looks like so I could really know whether or not Landon is, you know, full of it or not.
Yacht dating.
Yeah.
She's like, well, oh, that's when he said, and they said that you hang out with you don't hang out with millionaires, only billionaires. Of course, Landon. She's like, now that I didn't say, and it bothers me because that is not me. And I was, you know what? I was really upset with how they treated me too.
Yeah.
And he's like, She's trying to UR them, you know? And he's like, no. And she goes, well, they're talking bad about me. And he goes, you know, that's not the point. Like, you need to be more polite. She's like, well, when I'm not bitchy, I'm being taken advantage of. And when I'm don't let myself get taken advantage of, then I'm a bitch. It's like I can't win.
Shep is basically saying to her, you have to start thinking like a wasp, okay? You may not have liked the logo, or maybe you didn't want to be featured on the app, but rather than going in on them, you just sort of make a pleasant excuse, or you say something sort of non-committal and get out of the situation instead of just, you know, like, they have money. You got to like maintain those relationships. That's essentially what he's saying.
Yeah, and she's, I think, is just trying to impress them by being an asshole, because like people who are trying to be, you know, seem better than they are, often jump to just being critical, which, hey, that's in my I've been guilty of that too. I've recognized that in myself a long time ago. where you're just that, you think that that makes you smarter or like you look like you know what you're doing when it just kind of makes you look stupid. So I always kind of feel bad for Landon, even though I know she's an evil cow. And so she's like, well, Shep has never even had a job, and he's telling me how to behave. And he's like, kill him with kindness, gosh. And she's like, this was supposed to be a fun, jovial night, and he rained on my parade. And then she goes to her eyebrows partner, and she's like, well, I mean, basically, Shep just told me I was a straight-up bitch.
Yeah.
That's like, not really what he said, but...
That wasn't. He was just trying to say, like... Don't act like that in front of people who have money who can help your site.
So we're going to have some good fighting with these two this season.
Yeah. So then now we go to a scene of Chelsea and Shep getting drinks. And I was like, ooh, they're on their date. But nope, they're not on a date because here comes Cameron. Mm-hmm. And they get a bunch of drinks like Weekend at Bernie's, some sort of like milky orange. It looked like a Thai iced tea, whatever this cocktail was. But they loved it. And
yeah, when she goes, well, this is a good spot. And he goes, yeah. And she goes, they probably don't have Budweiser here. And he goes, well, when in Rome. I was like, ugh, why do you have to bring up Landon? You're on a date.
Yeah, and sure enough, he starts gossiping about how Landon was, what she was doing in Nantucket and everything. And I don't remember what really happened. I just know that the episode sort of just ended. And I was like, wait, what? Because they're like, next time on Southern Charm. I was like, wait, I thought we were in the middle of a date, like with Cameron.
Yeah, it was kind of a weird ending. But then it was next time on Southern Charm, and it's Catherine at a model agency. And she's like, I used to be a model. And she's like, well, you're kind of older now. And Catherine's not wearing any makeup. And she just gives her that look like, argh.
Yeah, it was like an angry erm.
So good. So
good.
That brings us to the end of this, baby.
Bring us to the end of Southern Charm, but you know what? It doesn't bring us to the beginning of some Crappin's mailbag. Hey. Sweet, beautiful Crappin's mailbag. We neglected you last week, but we're here to read more questions out of you. So, why don't we start with dearest Benjamin Cohen? He says, first, a statement. Every time I see a picture of Lala, Kathy Dennis's Touch Me All Night Long plays in my head. She is a relic of 90s urban white girl glam. Couldn't agree more.
All now, night long.
Touch me, feel me. I would also argue that...
Thomas.
I would also argue that Kathy Dennis's seminal ballad, whatever it's called, the one about the walls, that one also should come into your head. Too many walls have come in between us. Too many walls. Remember that one?
Mm-mm.
Okay. So now on to the question. Is Bravo suffering without Andy Cohen as an executive? It seems that without him as an executive vice president, a lot of shows are greenlit that should never see the light of day. Man's Ed with Children stunk on ice and got renewed for 3 seasons. Long Island Princesses and Secrets and Wives were amazing, but only got 1 season. Potomac and Dallas are lackluster. If it costs the public, watch What Happens Live on Radio Andy. Is it worth having him back in charge?
No.
Yeah. I don't know if those were... I think that's actually a great question. And
For us to really know, because we don't know how much involvement he has in each show.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree.
Because people think that he's the creator of The Housewives. He's not. And that's somebody else. He didn't create that. He came on, you know, after it was already established and a thing. So I'm not really sure how much he has. And I think a lot of The Housewives shows have been doing better than ever. Like, Atlanta's been doing great without NeNe and Kim, which who knew that would happen? You know, it's still the highest rated one. Beverly Hills, people, we're towards the end of the season where people complain a lot about it, but... I think it's still doing pretty well. They had a pretty decent season. Orange County had one of its best ever. New York had one of its best ever. And their new shows actually seem to be doing well. So
they've found actually some sub-franchises. I mean, Below Deck now has Below Deck Med. Southern Charm will now have Southern Charm Savannah. Vanderpump Rules Vanderpump Rules is a spinoff unto itself. But that doesn't count because that's part of the Real Housewives universe ultimately. But also Married to Medicine has spin off, which they kind of buried. But the point is that they do have like sub hits in the mix there.
And as much as as we like to give Andy, just, you know, when we talk about Andy, I think Andy does a really good job as the Watch What Crappens host and the reunions host. Like, he's sort of slid into that niche, and he does a good job, you know. I don't watch Watch What Happens that much, but people seem to really like it, and he's kept that going and grown it. I mean, they got a new set. That says something, right?
Yeah. I guess the point is, I'm not sure whether or not Princesses Long Island would have gotten a second season if Andy Cohen were there. In fact, I think he still was an executive there when that show came through. So,
yeah, I think it's only been 3 years since he stepped down as the whatever, the head whatever.
Yeah,
he took a smaller role.
Okay, Oliver Haskins asks, when either vaginal rejuvenation or liquid nitrogen are discussed on Bravo, I become susceptible to shopping for items in the background. Last year, I took your advice and bought a Carol Radziwill Brass Orchid Mister. This year, while I am tempted by the zero gravity chair, I am thinking of buying those food-sized tweezers from Top Chef. Is this a wise choice, or should I just use a fork to recreate Shirley's oddly named cuisine? That I actually also really like that question. I would say get them. Why not?
I say if you can afford to shop on Amazon, do it. I mean, it is one of those things that has brought such joy to my life. I've been full-on Catherine Dennis up in here. You know, I've actually taken the month off from Amazon because I've been irresponsible with my money and it's tax time. So I've had to be very careful with my Amazon spending. And the other day, I forgot that I'd ordered something from China probably 2 or 3 months ago. And I finally got it in the mail, and I forgot that I had even ordered it. And just the feeling, like hearing the vroom, boom, and then my dog barking at the door, and then getting mad at my dog, and then going out to see what it is all mad, but then finding a gift from China. I mean,
that's great. It's such a nice feeling.
It is.
But Oliver, before you get the food-sized tweezers, why don't you, I would suggest, if your chopstick skills are not great, maybe do some chopstick work, because you may not need the tweezers if you got chopsticks. Also, so that might be
cheap. You look like kind of a dick, you know, tweezing your food. I have the food-sized tweezers, and I was doing that, and I'm like, no one needs their cilantro placed like that, you fucking faggot. Drop the tweezers. You're in your apartment, you know?
You know, you never know the demands of Instagram. Okay, so Jess Dang says, is this the current mailbag? Yes, it is. Anyway, question. Bethany, Caroline Fleming, Lydia. Oh, by the way, sorry to interrupt your own question. Caroline Fleming has learned how to do Instagram stories now, and it's just really added a great new dimension to Clear the Phlegm. We'll have to revisit that maybe next week. But anyway, question. Bethany, Caroline Fleming, Lydia, and Portia are playing Secret Hitler. Who is fascist? Who is liberal? Impressions, please. I can't even imagine these women playing that game. I can't even imagine. I think Caroline Fleming is probably Hitler. Fake Hitler. Secret Hitler. And I think it would be great because she played innocent all this time. Every time a liberal policy would pass, she'd be like, isn't this wonderful? A liberal policy passing? What a wonderful day for liberalism.
I think most people would think that Bethany would be Secret Hitler, but she's not really secret about anything, and I think she'd surprise people with a lot of her opinions on politics. I think that she'd be like, what? What? People want more food? All right, give it to them. What do I care? Yeah. Like, who cares? What's the matter? Huh?
This is what you do. If she were a liberal, she'd just be interrogating, and she'd be like, okay, what's going on with you? Like, why are you struggling? Like, what's the struggle? Is that like a fascist struggle? Like we passed a liberal policy. Like, you should be happy. Like, why aren't you happy right now? Like, you should be smiling more. Like, literally, I can't. Like, if you're going to be, like, fascist like that, then just be, like, open about it. But if you can't be fascist, if you can't be, like, open about it, then, like, I don't get your brand. Like, are you liberal or are you fascist? Like, I can't get – it's, like, honestly, too much. Like, my wall's up. Like, honestly, my Berlin wall's up. I literally can't. But if you were a fascist – wait, if she were a fascist, which doesn't even make sense because that's like way after Nazis, but if she were a fascist, this is how she would start the round. Okay, I'm a fascist. Like, I can't. You're like, oh, well, Bethany, we just started playing the game. Yeah, I'm a fascist. Like, I have to be me. Like, I have to be honest. Like, I just have to tell you.
I'm not even going to play this. I'm a fascist. I don't play by your rules. I do my own rules. I'm fascist.
Listen, I have to tell you something. And when I tell you this, I'm not trying to hurt you. Like, can I tell you this? Is it about the fascists? Yes, I'm a fascist.
And what are the other options? But what else
well,
can
Caroline,
you
well, I can imagine Caroline Fleming, as I said, being Secret Hitler, because I can imagine her talking about the joys of liberalism, and then when she's outed, she goes, "Yes, yes, it is me. I'm Secret Hitler. Goodbye." Like, wait, you don't have to leave.
And it's wonderful.
I remember being a little young baby Hitler, walking amongst the blueberries, the strawberries.
Remember when my great-great-great-great-grandfather gassed your great-great-great-great-grandfather all the times?
They're like, Caroline, it's a game. You don't have to give such a rich backstory to your role in the game. Portia is also in the game.
But what are the other options? It's fascist, liberal, secret Hitler, or what's the other one?
The way the game works is that everyone is claiming to be a liberal, but secretly, you know, two people are fascists, and among the fascists, one of them is Hitler. So you're either a liberal, a fascist, or Hitler.
Okay. So Portia would be like, I don't have to be fascist no more because now I have dump tea. I'm going to starve myself.
Portia just runs out of the house, and they're like, Portia, what's going on? She's like, I'm the fascist. No.
I told you I was the fastest.
And Lydia, I like that Lydia is in the mix here. That's a strange one. She was like, the liberals are all my children. They actually created this game for me. I said, I just wanted to figure out. Sometimes I just want to figure out who's a liberal and a fascist. And guess what? They made a game just for me.
I'll tell you who should run for politics. My daughter, what a lovely girl. I tell her, you know what I'd love? Clean streets. And she's out there with a broom.
I saw a fascist walking on the sidewalk. And I said, hey, get in here. You could be my daughter. And now she's a liberal.
Oh, good. That Lydia would even know those terms is hilarious. By the way, could somebody please give us some news on Melbourne? Because I haven't heard whether they're renewing, if they're even shooting. And I know all these new shows are coming out there. We're not getting any of them yet. And I'm getting pissed. I need those ladies back.
I think Melbourne is... it's got to be. If they have spun off into Sydney, Melbourne's definitely coming back.
Right? But they're like, we're not sure if it's coming back. I don't know.
We just need Bravo to start airing Sydney or New Zealand. There's like a bunch of them that Bravo should be airing.
Yeah,
okay, last question. Last question, and then we can actually wrap up this mailbag and start a new one. Okay, this is from the Quinitars. They say, we imagine you as red carpet reporters screaming out questions in miscellaneous accents and producers of the original Talk Soup. Besides Ben's writing, what would you take away from Crappens so we can selfishly sabotage it? Mwahaha, just kidding. I'm not sure if...
what would we take away from it?
You know, it's funny. I started reading the question as if they were setting up a scenario for us, but they were actually commenting on us. So, besides Ben's writing, what would you take away from Crappens?
Like, what would we maybe do outside of Crappens?
I think maybe. I think that's what it would be.
They're thinking, like, if we weren't doing this, we would be red carpet reporters or whatever. So what would our jobs be if we weren't doing Crappens? Well, I would not be a red carpet reporter. I can tell you that right fucking now. Because I used to work for a reality company, as did Ben. And, I had to do that shit sometimes, and I was horrified. Like, even when we went to the party the other day that we talked about on the bonus, there was a little red carpet, and there were people out there, and I was even horrified seeing them, because I'm not the person you want coming up to you being like, hi, oh my god, tell me about your project coming out on VH1, you know, pretending I know who you are. I don't give a crap, and I cannot pretend, so I can say that I wouldn't be doing that. How about you, Ben, if you weren't going to be a writer?
If I weren't going to be a writer, I definitely would not be doing red carpet shit, because I did that like once or twice. I was like, this is the worst thing I've ever done. I think if I weren't going to be a writer, I would probably be playing board games. Oddly enough, I probably would maybe do something in the visual medium. Which is strange. Like, I used to really like directing. I don't really have any ambitions of becoming a director. I chose writing as my path, but I would probably explore that. And I think I would, oddly enough, I also really like computer programming. So I probably would go back, take some classes in coding, you know, because the last time I did any sort of any sort of structured coding was I learned Java and JavaScript back in like 2001. So I would bone up on like how to code apps and stuff like that, or like maybe even how to make my own little game. I am like super into that sort of stuff.
I would be performing. I'm an actor. Like, I do stand up and improv and stuff like that. So I would be making more of an effort in that world. I make zero effort in it now, but I've started going out and selling little shows with my friends, and I really love doing that. Just like producing and putting stuff together, but mostly for myself to do.
Yeah.
Like making myself jobs.
Yeah, that would be cool. You know what I might do? I might try to capitalize on my SAG-AFTRA membership, because I've been a member of SAG for 10 years, and I'm not an actor, and I haven't even tried to book an acting gig. But I'm in the guild.
Well, if you're SAG, you can go to way better auditions than I can go to, because I'm not SAG. So I get stuck going to really shitty auditions, you know? But you could actually go to really good ones. You should do it, Ben.
I know.
No, don't
maybe.
Do it. I don't want you to leave me.
No. I think that the thing is this, that would really, first of all, I'm not an actor. Second of all, that would dilute my attention. You know what I would do? I would work out more, because I'm always complaining that I'm not in shape. I would work out more. That's what I would do.
I would definitely not do that.
I would really relish the opportunity to work out more, even though I honestly have all the time to do it now, but I feel like what happens is when we're done with the podcast, I'm like, I should be working on my writing. And then I go into guilt spiral, and then I don't do anything because I'm like sitting there feeling guilty and I don't do a writing and I don't work out. Maybe if I didn't want to be a writer, I could go to the gym more.
Well, that's fun.
That's a fun way to end the show,
right?
I like
all of your other answers better.
Yeah, that was the worst of all time. Well,
guys,
thanks.
It's been such a fun episode and such a great week. And Ben, thank you for pulling all these late nights.
Woo, child.
I know you did it, girl.
I'll do anything for Crappens. That's what I gotta say.
Well, we sure love you, and we love you guys. And we will talk to you next week.
Talk to you next week. Bye, everyone.